If you follow the liturgy closely, you might realize that you've heard both of the readings from today's Mass already. You heard them recently. Today's first reading was the same first reading we had on Sunday. And today's Gospel we had exactly 2 weeks ago, May 3rd, on the Feast of Saints Philip and James, the two apostles. Which might make you wonder, well, why read them again? We just heard them last week, 2 weeks ago. If we were only reading in order to gain some historical knowledge or to become familiar with what was said, yes, it would make no sense to keep reading the same passages over again. But that's not how the Word of God works. The Word of God is alive, and it speaks to us not only about what happened a long time ago, it speaks to us right now. It speaks to me, it speaks to you, if we know how to listen to it. So every time we get a reading, it's both old and new at the same time. It speaks to us about something from the past, and it also speaks to us in our situation right now. In the first reading, it's the story about Paul and his companions preaching in Antioch. When we read this passage on last Sunday, it was Good Shepherd Sunday, and we interpreted it in light of the ministry of the Good Shepherd. Jesus said, I know my sheep, they hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. Remember, that was Sunday's Gospel. And then this was an example of some people who were included among the Lord's sheep and some who were not. In this case, it was the Jews of Antioch who eventually rejected the Word of God, so they excluded themselves from the flock. But the Gentiles were very willing to accept the Word of God, and so they become members of the flock. They become sheep of the Good Shepherd. That's how we reflected on it on Sunday. Here, today, we're reading it in continuity with the whole journey of the missionaries making known the Word. They're experiencing, yes, rejection, but also acceptance, and they're rejoicing to be able to be at the service of the Word. Even when they're persecuted, they keep rejoicing. Today's Gospel, which we heard 2 weeks ago, because it was the Feast of St. Philip and James, we were reflecting especially on this idea of apostles. Who are apostles? What does it mean to be in an apostolic church? We were praying at that time for the successor of St. Peter, the apostle, who was going to be the next pope. And so that was the focus. Today we read this passage not just to focus on the apostles Philip and James, but to reflect on what is being revealed to us in this conversation of Philip with Jesus. This is from John chapter 14. I know this might not be that interesting to the young people, but John chapter 14 has three, these are all stories from the Last Supper, right? And so at the Last Supper, after Judas had already left, Jesus is speaking very intimately with his apostles, and three of them ask, make requests of him. Yesterday we heard the first one. Thomas says, well, we don't know the way. How do we know where you're going? How do we know the way? Yesterday's Gospel. In today's Gospel, it's Philip who speaks up and makes this request. Master, show us the Father. That will be enough. Just show us the Father. And then the next one, which we'll hear on Monday, is the other Judas. Sometimes we call him St. Jude the Apostle. And he asks, why do you reveal yourselves to, why do you reveal yourself to us and not to the world? So we'll get to that on Monday. But it's all part of Jesus revealing himself at the Last Supper. He speaks about the Father. He says, if you know me, you know my Father. And then that's when Philip asks, well, Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Show us the Father. It's a great request. It's a request that resonates in our own hearts. Show us the Father. Show us your face. Show us yourself. Help us to know you better. Just reveal yourself. Don't hide behind signs, don't be obscure, don't be slow. Just show us yourself. It's like an expression of our desire for the beatific vision. We want to see God. Everyone does. But in reply, Jesus gives Philip a kind of correction, right? He says, "Philip, Philip, have I been with you for so long a time and you still do not know me?" As if he were saying, "Philip, I am showing you the Father. Don't you get it yet? I am showing you the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? That's what I'm doing." Maybe to think about this a little bit, you can remember, at least I can remember, so many movies, either sports movies or movies about struggling artists or singers. This is a very common theme. I'm sure you'll know the pattern. There's a young athlete or a team that loses. They lose. They're humiliated. They're teased. Or a young singer or a gymnast or somebody striving and losing, and they're discouraged. Along comes some wise mentor, a good coach or a trainer or something, some friend, someone who knows how to help this struggling team or this failing athlete, and he comes along and he starts to train the team how to be a winning team. Let's say it's a basketball team. So he runs them through lots of practices, dribble, 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 and run back and forth, back and forth, back and forth across the gym court. And the players are saying, "What are we doing this for? Why don't we play basketball? What are we doing running back and forth? What are we doing? Why are we doing these repetitive exercises?" The same thing happens in, say, the young kid who gets beat up by the bullies, and then along comes the karate master, and he's going to teach the kid karate. And then, instead of teaching him karate, he makes him do over and over and over again the same exercises. Or the young singer who failed, who lost in the singing contest, and the voice coach comes along and says, "Do these vocal exercises." Anyway, this is the pattern. The training that takes place eventually strikes the one being trained as being a waste. "Why don't you teach us how to play basketball? Why don't you teach me how to sing? Why don't you teach me how to do karate?" And then the wise mentor says, "Well, that's what I am doing. That's what I am doing. I'm teaching you how to play basketball. This is how you do it. You have to practice. You have to go through these stages. You have to go through this process in which you don't understand what you're doing, but you're trusting the one who's training you." And then in these movies, it always happens like this. At the end of the movie, they get to the championship game or they get to the big contest, and then they're at a moment of crisis. They're about to lose. And then that training that they received way back that made no sense to them back then suddenly bears good fruit for the team, and they do it perfectly and they win the game. You know stories like that? I'm looking at you like I'm speaking another language. No, this is a very common pattern in the movies. Any sports movie, it's like this. At the beginning, they don't know why they're doing these silly practices. At the end of the movie, it leads to winning the championship. Okay, why do I tell that? It's because Jesus is doing something like this. In journeying with the apostles, the whole time he's revealing the Father to them. That's his whole mission. He's the perfect representation. He's the perfect revelation of the Father. He knows they don't understand it, but that's the way it is. The coach understands it, the players don't. The teacher understands it, the students don't. But the teacher keeps going, and that's what he's doing here. "Philip, have you been with me so long a time and you still do not know what I'm doing here? You don't know that I'm revealing the Father to you? Don't you know that I'm in the Father, the Father's in me? Don't you see that in my works the Father is being revealed?" He says, "If you don't believe me, believe the works. Reflect on what it is that you've experienced and witnessed." This is a lesson for all of us, right? Like we're not at the Last Supper, we're not Philip. But we are disciples of Jesus, and we are receiving from him his gradual revelation of himself so that we know him and follow him. The Lord knows we don't understand it all. We don't. Especially when things go bad. When we experience losses or sufferings. We say, well, why did you do this, Lord? Why don't you show me your face? Why don't you show me something glorious? Why do I have to go through this trial? And the Lord says, I am leading you to glory. I am showing you the very thing that you're longing for. I am leading you along the way. But you won't make any progress unless you trust in me. Unless you trust in me. This was yesterday's gospel. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus says. No one will get this thing that we long for, that you long for, without putting our trust in Jesus. So that's what we're being told here. To accept the coach, to follow the training, even if it doesn't make sense to us right now. That's the way of faith, right? It's the way of faith. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. I don't understand why you don't show me your face, but even if you don't, I trust in you. This is the path. This is the path. So that's why in the first reading, those who don't trust Jesus, who eventually become jealous of him or hostile toward him, they don't experience the very thing that they're longing for. But the Gentiles, who glorify the word of the Lord, who are destined for eternal life, who come to believe, they rejoice. They rejoice because they're putting their trust in the word of the Lord. They're becoming disciples of Jesus. They don't understand the persecution either, but they know the one whom they're following, and that's why they can continue the pilgrimage. That's all of us. Whatever we might understand or not understand or see or not see, the important thing is Jesus. Putting our trust in Jesus, knowing him, following him. He's the perfect revelation of the Father. He's the trustworthy guide on the way to eternal life.